This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading today is from the book of Psalms. This is Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
You've probably heard the statistics that there has been an increase in the number of people using the phone to talk to one another. Following years of decline, some phone companies are seeing up to an increase of 50% in phone calls. Sadly though, among these statistics is a 40% increase in calls to the Women's Aid helpline. Whoever we're calling, for whatever reason though, we expect a conversation to be two ways. We speak, they listen. They speak, we listen. In a conversation, there's expectation that all involved are engaged and they're not distracted. A conversation is rarely one way. It would be a bit odd if it was and there was just this silence in response to what we've said. One of the debates around Psalms is whether the Psalms is a one-way conversation. Us speaking to God or God speaking to us. I believe the Psalms are both. I believe they give us a model for an honest conversation between us and God. God and us. In the New Testament, Jesus mostly used the Psalms to speak about himself as the Son of God. Whereas on other occasions, Paul, for example, he used it to support what he was saying. As we read Romans 3, there is up to 10 different references to Psalms. Or there's also the mention of Colossians and Ephesians that Psalms were used as songs to God. And then in the Gospels, you have Simeon and Mary and Zechariah using the Psalms as prayers to God. So the Psalms are both our words to God, but also God's word to us. They invite us into this conversation between us and God. Listening and speaking, speaking and listening. Indeed, the whole of the Bible has this dynamic. That's why we call it the living word of God. But many people are wary of taking the Bible too seriously, of reading the Bible too much, spending time reading it, and they have issues with it, partly because there have been those who have taken parts of the Bible out of context and misused it to wrongly justify their actions or their opinions. However, another reason is that many people just don't like the fact that the Bible has a lot to say about good and evil, what is right and what is wrong, and how you should think and live as a result. As a general rule, people just don't like being told these kind of things. From when we were toddlers and learning to walk and talk and discovering the world, we made it quite clear, sometimes through a very public tantrum, that we didn't like to be told what we should or should not do. And this is the very thing that sets the story of the Bible in motion. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, God presents Adam and Eve with a choice. But God makes it clear which is the right choice and which is the wrong choice. They were told by God, you are free to eat all the fruits from all the trees, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you eat it, you will surely die. Therefore, there is a right choice and a wrong choice, a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do. And Adam and Eve have the moral capacity and the free will to choose one or the other. God was inviting them to be good stewards, live under his rule, and in cooperation and partnership with him, share in the care of one another and the care of the world. However, as we read Genesis 3, we read how sin creeps in the form of a serpent, inviting Adam and Eve to question what God says and God's motives for saying it. The serpent suggests that Adam and Eve can judge what is good and evil just as well as God. Therefore, they should just eat the fruit from the tree that God told them not to eat from. And Adam and Eve, rather than returning to God, seeking out God, and having a further conversation with God, sharing their doubts and their fears and asking questions and further clarification, sadly they relied upon their conversation with the serpent to make their choice. Or to use the words of Psalm 1, they relied upon the counsel of the wicked. They took the way of the sinners. And eating the fruit, disregarding God, they sat with the scoffers. Adam and Eve made their choice. The Psalms begin by presenting us with that same choice that God presented Adam and Eve. Psalm 1 is saying either your life is influenced by the presence and conversation with others, in particular those who have no interest or care in God and his ways, even those who scoff at the idea of God or what he has to say. Or your life is ultimately influenced by a conversation in the presence of the Lord God. So Psalm 1 is asking, which is it? Psalm 1 invites us into an honest conversation. Firstly, with ourselves. We need to make a choice and then commit to living out that choice. So how will you live? Influenced by others or influenced by God? The theologian and Christian writer Dallas Willard said the greatest issue facing the world today is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of God. Since the very beginning, God has been inviting us into a living relationship with him, to live our lives with him every day, patiently learning from God as we come and go in day-to-day conversation with him. The world needs the church today, as we emerge out of lockdown, to be committed, not to just being called Christians, but to live life the Jesus way and invite others to this way. The world needs Christians who are living out this lifelong commitment, evident in how we spend our time, spend our money, how we work, how we relax, how we bring up our children, how we are with friends, how we respond to poverty, homelessness, domestic violence, physical and mental illness, caring for the environment, being a neighbour who cares, or how we think about matters to do with human identity, abortion, death, immigration, racism. Psalm 1 asks, how will you live? How are you living this life? Influenced by your conversation and the presence of others, or your conversation in the presence of God? How will you live? As disciples of Jesus, steadily learning from him how to live life in the kingdom. Let's take a moment to think about this, and perhaps use the words of this song as a prayer. So sing or pray along in silence till we fall down and lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The Hebrew word that is translated as law of the Lord is Torah. And the Torah can refer to a number of things. It can mean the first five books of the Old Testament. It can refer to the teaching of an elder, a priest, or a prophet. It can mean the covenant writings of Moses, or it can mean the whole of biblical literature. I think here in Psalm 1, the psalmist is saying, how blessed is the one who loves and delights in the Bible, the whole of biblical literature, meditating on it day and night. Now, many of us think of meditation as yoga, or sitting silently for a while, or emptying our minds. But Psalm 1, in using the word meditates, is the image of a focused reader intent on filling their thinking and their feeling with the text that they're reading. For the reader of the Bible, that is the profound truth that is woven into the Bible's magnificent story. The psalmist describes the ideal reader is the person who loves to read the Bible carefully, thoughtfully, with ongoing consideration over a lifetime to that profound truth in the biblical story, day after day, night after night. During the week, I had to pull my car over into Ulaybay because the engine was making a really odd noise. The temperature gauge was going from one direction to the other. Something was beeping and there was a code on my dashboard. So once I got the car parked, I reached into the glove box to get out the manual. and to look up this code to try and find out what was going on. Once I read the manual, I put it away, hoping that I'd not have to take it out of the glove box again. Well, not soon anyway. Called a friend, Adam, to pick up the kids. So thank you, Adam. God bless you. And very slowly, I drove the car home. Psalm 1 isn't describing a reader who occasionally reads some of the Bible in times of trouble, like me in a panic, taking out the car manual and trying to find some explanation for what's going on, and maybe even some solution. Psalm 1 is saying that to successfully read the Bible is to read it over time. So we're like a tree that is taken and planted in a stream with access to fresh flowing water, having fruit in summer, surviving the winter without the leaves withering and dying. Psalm 1 says when we base our lives on the law of the Lord, on the Bible, we flourish. And like a tree planted by a stream, we experience times when the stream is in full flow, or times when it's like a little slow running trickle. When life is abundantly good, or days when we're having to seek out the good. So the Bible over our lifetime is always able to provide for us as it shapes us and influences us. It has been said that when we read the Bible reads us. So as we let God's word into our lives, like water through the roots of a tree by a stream, we grow and form the way and character of Jesus and less of the way and character of self. Sometimes, though, what we find is that where we may want the Bible to work really fast in our lives, providing something instant, instead the Bible works at a slower pace. Providing truth in our lives over a period of time. And that can leave us feeling frustrated, but through God's Spirit, God is doing something deeper in our lives. There's something life-giving and strengthening from starting every day with a conversation with God in the Bible. It's from there we understand ourselves better. It's from there we see the world better, from a better perspective. We understand others better. It's out of reading the Bible we can pray better. We can get up from our time of reading and worship God better in the whole of our lives. Jesus models this for us and invites us to live like this. I invite you into this conversation with God. Not a one-off conversation, but a lifelong conversation. And not a polite but brief conversation, but a wholehearted, honest conversation. But if this conversation is going to be a two-way conversation, then we need to be prepared to listen to what God has to say and has been saying throughout time and has given to us in his truth in the Bible. As you read the Bible, prepare to meet God there. And for God to meet you. And in doing so, we become more and more equipped to be the people of God in this time. That is my prayer for you, for us, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you because we love you. We speak to you because you hear our prayers and love to hear from us. Help us to bear our hearts to you, Father, in prayer. You know when we are happy, when we are mournful, when we are scared, when we are angry with others, and when we are angry with you. Creator God, we are your children. Hear our prayers. Father, as we move further out of stricter lockdown measures, we pray again that the coronavirus would be removed from this world. We see its impact and fear for its future effects. Father, we plead for you in your sovereignty and according to your will to remove it from your world. We pray for restaurants, cafes and bars as they reopen this weekend. We pray that staff won't be forced to work when they are fearful. The proper measures will be put in place for their safety and that customers adhere to guidance given by staff. As we once again venture out to socialise with others over food or to enjoy a coffee alone, let us give thanks to you for the freedom and money that allow us to do that. We pray for those who, due to personal or family circumstances, are still shielding away from the coronavirus. We pray that they would feel your presence and that you would continue to sustain them in this period of isolation. We pray that we would continue to be aware of these people. Keep them in our prayers, keep them in mind when we are ringing friends, and give them hope that they can soon too experience the freedom that they had before. We pray for people, including some of our own church, who have been forced into financial uncertainty during this period of lockdown. We pray for the self-employed and those who still have not been able to get back to work. We pray against this circumstance coming in between them and you. We pray that these circumstances would bring people to you and that there would be blessing found in this current pain. We pray for the empowerment and publicity of Christians Against Poverty, Storehouse and other groups who work in this area. We pray for our children and young people who, after a long period of home study, are now free to enjoy their holidays. We pray that their summer would be full of outdoor activities, time spent with family and friends, and memory-forming experiences. We pray for young people who usually go to church-led summer schemes and holiday Bible clubs. We thank you for the churches who are trying to adapt to current guidance. We pray that those churches will be blessed with good weather, safety, and enjoyment. Lord, we yearn to be back together in your house, worshipping you and enjoying each other's company. We thank you for what we have adapted to doing over the last few months. Your people have come together in a way we couldn't have imagined. You have blessed us and sustained us throughout. Father, continue to be with us as we navigate towards getting back together physically in one building. As we step out with those intentions, we again pray for those around this world who are persecuted and dream of the day where they can worship you publicly as well as in their own homes. Father, continue to sustain us this week as we move forward, continuing to grow with you and live for you in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.